You're gonna. Oh, there it is. I knew you were gonna pull it out.
Unfortunately, we didn't line up a judge, so we're not going to have a winner this time. We'll have to get a judge lined up next time. And yeah, it is there, arizonashrimp.com.
Yeah, so, there you go.
I swore last time I drove by there, it said it looked shut down. But
yeah. Cool. Well, I recently talked to the guy.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
Well, I'm glad they're still there. Anyway.
Yeah. So composting. Let's talk about traditional composting. Traditional composting is challenging for a multiple amount of reasons. And that's why I always, you know, suggest worms, chickens. Those are the two simplest other alternatives, as we talked about. But there's a level of difficulty that starts with the amount of organic matter that you need to compost. And in order to get a compost pile going, and this is, we're talking about thermophilic composting or the traditional composting that you think about when we talk about composting. And thermophilic means it's hot. So the compost pile needs to get hot to, you know, about 155 degrees in order for it to do all the breaking down that it needs to do. And in order to get it to that point, you need a lot of organic matter. The way that I've found that works best is the pallet method. Basically, I get four pallets and I wire three of them together in a U shape. And the fourth one gets put on the front. So I have this 4 foot by 4 foot by 4 foot cube that'll hold in my compost. So four times four times four is what?
16.
Four times four is 16.
16 times 4 again.
16 times 4 is 64, four. Right? That's 64 cubic feet of organic matter to make your compost bin go. That's, you know, think of a 15-gallon tree tub. Uh-huh. You know, that's easy, right? People know what a 15-gallon tree tub looks like. You probably are going to need 50 of those full of organic matter in order to make your compost go. So that's challenge number one. Challenge number two is getting the mix right. So there's greens and there's browns. Browns are primarily everything that's dried. So what we were mixing this morning, I mentioned we were doing composting this morning at the urban farm. What we were mixing this morning was we had a bunch of leaves left over from the ash tree this past winter. So we were raking those up in the backyard. And then the seed pods from the ash tree, those are all browns. And you need about 60 to 70%-ish browns in order to get the compost going. And then the greens is anything that's still alive, generally speaking. In this case, chicken manure isn't still alive, but it's high in nitrogen. So what greens means is that it's high in nitrogen. So one of the things that I use for a green at the urban farm in my composting is the chicken manure. So now you have
That's a lot of chicken manure for a 64 cube pallet.
Right? Right? Well, and so what we did this morning, it was interesting. What we did this morning is I've been saving the chicken manure. So I put it in 15-gallon tubs. Just, you know, the 15-gallon tree tub. So I just go in about once every week or 10 days. I clean out the chicken coop, and it goes in there. And then it just kind of sits and dries out in a corner until I'm ready to put together my compost bin. Because it takes a certain, you know, it takes me a few months to collect all of the stuff that we need, all the greens and the browns, to make a compost bin happen at the urban farm, even when I'm collecting food waste from a restaurant.
And that's one thing I love about gardening and farming is it's not something that is done right now. It's not an instant gratification thing. You have to work it. And I love that aspect of it. Slowing down, taking your time, and working with it. Not trying to force it. Not trying to rush it. Because that's one thing you can't do. You can't rush nature. It has its own pace.
Yeah, my late friend Toby Hemingway used to say, nature always bats last.
That's great.
Yeah, and that is the case. That is absolutely the case. So you have your greens, you have your browns, you have at least 50 cubic feet of it And now you have to get it mixed in your bin. In this case, it's a 4x4x4 bin, so that it's significantly mixed together so that the greens and the browns touch each other and can start heating up. Then when you're building the compost bin, you need to keep it wet. So usually I'll put a layer of browns on. Another thing that we use is straw. So I'll put a 4-inch layer of straw, and then I'll put an inch of greens on top, and then I hit it with a hose for a minute or two. Okay? And then we're doing this layer by layer by layer. And the interesting thing in traditional composting, we can go 5 feet tall with the compost bin, and in 3 weeks, it'll be 3 feet tall because that's it's working. It's doing what it's supposed to be doing.
It's like cooking spinach.
It looks. Yeah, exactly.
You put it in a pot and it shrinks.
Exactly. And so then once it's all set up and running and it's sufficiently wet, you need to wet it. Probably in this heat, you need to wet it a couple, 3-4 times a week to keep it, to keep it damp. And then after about 48 to 72 hours, it starts heating up and it'll heat up to 150 degrees. And then when it starts cooling down again, the next challenge is you need to turn it. So it's, that's generally speaking at urbanfarm.org. We have a guide to backyard composting, so you can go check that out at urbanfarm.org.
Now, if I started now, that compost, is that going to be ready for my fall garden or my spring garden?
Spring garden. Yeah, it takes 6 months or so to make compost.
You're more at urbanfarm.org. Farmer Greg, thanks for being here and part of Saturday's broadcast and help educate and inspire everyone to just grow a little of their own.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you for having me.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground.